Now think of, see that picture? That is a gruesome picture. And you have this little boy at 12 years old who understood. He understood. When he saw the temple and saw what was happening with those lambs, he was full of wisdom. And he understood. Then the priest would remove the plugs from the drain holes leading to the shechin at the base of the altar, and the gallons upon gallons of lamb's blood would begin to descend into the pits. And then they would pull some plugs out from the water channel, and the water would flood the Temple Mount and wash all of that blood through those pits down into the Kidron, washing sins away. Washing sins away. Just FYI, Jesus is the temple. Jesus spilled his blood, and when they struck him in the side, both blood and water came out. They said it was praiseworthy for the priest to be able to walk barefoot in the blood. It's, if you think about this, this is the picture that came to my mind. It's kind of like a wine press. You ever seen a wine press? The grapes are there, the colored grapes, and you get in there barefooted like the priest did with this blood, and they're doing this, and the Lord says the wine press of God is coming, and you squish the grapes. And this is all a picture of the wrath of God coming down on these poor lambs and eventually on the Lamb of God. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John MacArthur puts it this way, and I couldn't find anything better than what was written here by John MacArthur. God punished Jesus for my sin. So I say, on the cross, God treated Jesus as he lived my life. But that's not all. That's substitution. But that's not the end, John writes. Now listen to this one. He treats me as if I lived Jesus' life. Do you believe that? There's no cross ahead of us. There's no wine press. There's no lamb sacrifice. It's over. There is a wine press coming for the world. But if you're a son, you are walking the path of Jesus Christ. You are in his path. And we don't have parents anymore. I mean, generally we do, but most of us in here, we're leading our own life, right? Hopefully it's devoutly. Not by the law, but devout otherwise, nonetheless. We're living devoutly before the Lord because we're living that life that Jesus gave us. It's a positive motivation because the negative motivation is gone. There's no negative motivation for you. Well, you better do this or the wrath of God is coming on you. Now remember, the Lord does talk about disciplining, and we don't want to be whipped by the Lord. So there's that parental discipline that we still have to be worried about even at the age of 90 and 91, right? But we don't have to worry about the wine press. It's over. You get the picture that Jesus Christ sees? What do you think his motivation is? For the world. I'm going to go up there and be that lamb on the Temple Mount for the world. And look at all, my blood's going to go into the ground for the world. After they saw this mess, next thing they do would take their portion of the sacrifice and go home and roast it. It would be dark. They would have candles around. They would sing songs. How do you sing after seeing a mess like that? Isn't that weird? But it's, how do you sing? You sing out of faith. You sing out of hope. You sing out of rejoicing. There goes my sins. Think about this. Let's say you leave the Temple Mount and you go, what a mess. And you're running and kids are crying and the sheep, you know, whatever. And you're walking away. What's the dad supposed to say? You know what? For the next year, your sins are gone. Or actually for the past year. For the past year, you are clean before the Lord. But you, for you and me, they're all gone. For eternity. We don't like this picture. But remember what Hebrews says. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Well, let's put those poor animals away in the pasture where they belong. And let's put one man upon the cross to do it all. That's pretty wise by God. They would sing songs and they would read psalms. And they would do some Old Testament praying, reading and praying. And then the youngest Jewish child in the house would ask a general question. And for that general question, he's going to get, or she's going to get a lollipop or some little gift. They've been chosen as the youngest one. And they say, okay, you're going to read the most important question of the night. Here's your little gift. And so the youngest child would go, why is this night different than all the others? And then that was the father's time to sit down and say, okay, let's tell you about Egypt. And let's tell you about Israel. And let's tell you about God. And let's tell you about the Messiah to come. And then they would ask a series of questions. Usually there's three, but depending on whether it's the Babylonian Mishnah or the Jerusalem one or the Egyptian one, they'd ask a couple questions. Why is it on all the other nights we eat many vegetables, but on this night we only eat the bitter one, the maror? We only eat the bitter one, the bitter herb, to remind us of the bitterness of slavery that our ancestors endured in Egypt. On the other nights, we don't dip our bitter herb. Why on this night, we don't even dip it once. Why on this night do we dip it twice? Well, we dip it to remember Joseph dipped his coat was dipped in blood. And we dipped it twice to remember the hyssop was dipped in blood and sprinkled on the altar. Some would say the first dip is of the green vegetable is dipped in salt to symbolize the replacing of our tears with gratitude. And the second dip is in a sweet apple walnut sauce, symbolizes the sweetening of our burden of bitterness and suffering being gone. The second question, like all the other nights, we don't eat both shematz and matzah. We only eat leavened bread. Why do we eat the unleavened bread? Well, we only eat the unleavened bread, the matzah, because our ancestors could not wait for their breads to rise. So we eat flat breads. On all the other nights, some eat and drink sitting with others. But on this night, we're all reclining. Why are we reclining? Well, we recline at the Seder table because in ancient times, the person who reclined at a meal was a free person. They're free. The servants are walking up around and serving them. These people are free. You're free. One last one. As all the other nights, we may eat roasted, but we could eat marinated or cooked or stewed meat. Why on this night is it only roasted meat? We eat only roasted meat because that is how the Passover lamb is prepared during the sacrifice in the temple. Because that's what the Lord commanded of the sacrifice. So we're going to follow his command and eat roast. With all this in mind, with this whole experience in mind, that 1 year before Jesus was to become a man in the Jewish culture, the bar mitzvah would become later, but it was still a tradition at 13, they would become fully incorporated adult into the Jewish society. With all this in mind, you would think that he would bail out. And he doesn't. It's full steam ahead. Full steam ahead. They had to travel about 80 to 90 miles, 4 to 5 days. When they got there, they found he was gone afterwards. They're going to go a day's journey. They're going to travel 20 to 25 miles. And what they did was generally the women would go in one band and the men would go in another. And they would stay together for safety's sake, and they would have a meeting place down the road. Here's where we're going to stay the night on the first day back. And when they get to that meeting place, they don't find Jesus with any of the kin or the friends. And so they begin to search for him. And they make another day back. So that's 2 days. And then they spend a day searching. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, there's the 3 days again, by the way, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Okay, the sacrifice is over, and our 8 days, they stayed there the whole 8 days. Most people would go home after two or three. They stayed to eight. After 8 days of there and all this other stuff and all this experience, you think, I'm going to go home and play Nintendo. I'm going to go home and play with my animals or whatever. Build Dad a bed. And what's he do? He sticks around. He's sitting amongst the teachers. And think about this. Everybody's leaving. 8 days later, I mean, a lot of people are gone. The teachers are sitting around. Well, how did it go? How did it go with you? What do you think of this? What did you learn? And Jesus is sitting amongst them, not outside. He's amongst them. I mean, hey, kid, what are you doing here? What do you think he said? Well, what'd you learn? And as soon as they start asking him or he's asking them, boy, I tell you what, this kid's full of wisdom. There was nobody like him. Who has a bumper sticker on their car? My baby graduated from yada, 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 full honors. And we have those, you know, Mozarts and all those other people that were, you know, Einsteins and all those kinds of wonderful people. But nobody like this little boy who knew who he was. We're going to find out who he was. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. What? And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I, have you heard that? Your father and I, you can hear Mary's voice. Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. You got to be careful with this translation here. This is a very interesting translation. The word house, there's a word for house. It's oikoi, something like that. There's another word for house or place or building. That's not there. The word for business is not there. You'll see in some of your translations, I must be about my father's business. The translation is something about like this. Did you not know that I must be in my father, mine? That's in the Greek. And you can talk to everybody and try to figure out exactly what that means, except I got this out of it. Whatever the father is, wherever he's at, that's where I am. Whatever he's doing, because see, we see this backed up by scripture, especially in John. Whatever I see my father doing, that's where I'm at. When you're in, let's say, what is this now, about 15 or something? 15 AD or so, somewhere in there, 12 AD, wherever you want to place Jesus' birth. Let's say you're 10 or 12 AD. 10 or 12 AD and you're there, and where's God? Where are they talking about God? What are they doing? Where are they doing the things of God and teaching about God and learning about God? They're doing it at the temple. You find that with the disciples. Remember, they were all meeting at Solomon's colonnade after they came to Christ and after Pentecost. They all went up to the temple because that's what you do. And remember what Hebrews says, gather together even more as the day approaches. Where do you want to be? I want to be home with my feet up. And that's the truth sometimes, many times, many times. But I love a good lesson. Would you love a good lesson? That's why we started another one at 4 o'clock. Because we just love to, let's ask questions. It's not Mr. Know-it-all time. It's let's get out the Bible and ask questions. What do you think? What have you been learning? What have you been learning? What does the Bible say is what it comes down to. And all who wondered at this little boy, all who wondered at this little boy, this is the universal testimony of the Son. See, in Jewish thinking, in the Jewish theology and doctrine, the Son is not just a mere seed of the Father. He is the image of the Father. He's going to get the house. He's going to get the land. He's going to get everything. He knows my business. He knows everything because he's my son. That's why, again, going back to the idea of the adoption, that when you're adopted, remember, we're adopted, Paul says, but adoptions back then were, you're my son. You are legally and heavenly my child. And when you're my child, you get everything. Didn't you not know that you're going to sit on the thrones with the Lord? You're going to reign with him on this earth, the Bible says. Why? Because you're his sons and daughters. Folks, if we could grasp that, you don't need any more motivation. You don't need any negative motivation. Oh, he's going to whip me. God's going to be mad at me. No, I'm motivated by love. I'm motivated because I'm in the place of my Father. And what that means is I am doing what the Father's doing. I am about his business. If he's in the temple, that's where I'm at. That's what it means. What are we doing? Well, we're going to be out down in the singer. We're going to be singing songs down by the river. You count me in. I'm there. We're going to have a prophecy event. We're going to have a Sunday morning service. Count me in. What did Joe, again, going back to Joe, and I don't know why he's on my mind today, but he keeps saying, you know, when I was little and the doors were open, we were there. And I love that's devoutness. That's motivation. That's motivation. John 20:31, about this testimony. These have been written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's it. See, at 12 years old, he's saying to them, Mother, I have some news for you. I'm about my Father's business. I'm doing what my Father's asked me to do. You see, this is a transition. It's time to transition, Mary, from an earthly parent to the heavenly. The parents had to exchange. The parents had to exchange authority for submission. Mary and Joseph had to exchange their authority for submission to the Lord at some point. They had to exchange commanding for obeying. They had to exchange responsibility for redemption. They had to exchange amazement for worship of a child. So why does he come as a baby? So he could learn through experience what we will go through and are going through. Why didn't he come just for a weekend? He could die and bury and be raised in 3 days, right? We could do it all in 3 days and it'd be over. Lord, I think you overdid it. I don't think he did. Because he came to experience what it is to obey the Lord, obey his Father. Because the priest had to represent a man. And yet in Hebrews 5:3 it says, he's obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for all these people. That's why the new priest had to come. He didn't have to sacrifice for his own sins. his own self just for us. He's the new priest. And he lived and stood between us and God. Hebrews 4:15, in every respect, he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Folks, do not leave out the word every. You can put any ugly thing you want in that word. He was tempted in every sin. All stages of his life as a man, every means, every enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Hebrews 5, 8-9, although he was a son of God, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. He learned it experientially. He was made perfect through obedience. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. Again, that is your motivation. You don't need any other. You don't need discipline, although we're going to have it. We need love. Verse 49, the translation is, in the things of my Father, I must be. And that's where we should be. In the things of my Father, that's where I should be. Remember in John chapter 4, when Jesus is about to make the wine, again going back to that. And remember the mother comes up to Jesus and says, they have run out of wine. What did Jesus say to them or her? Woman. That was a polite at the time. Was polite, okay? Woman, what have I to do with thee? There was a point where he transitioned into doing the Father's will. That's honestly where you and I have to be. And he went down with them. He came to Nazareth and was submission to them. This is the next 18 years. So the prior 12 years was verse 49, and then 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submission to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in his heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with man and God. I'm going to finish with this. In John 17, verse 24, Jesus said this at the end of his life, here on earth. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me. You get the connection? See, I must be in my Father's place. I must be about my Father's business. I must be in it with my Father. However you want to translate that. So Jesus was in it with his Father. Now what does Jesus say? I want you to be with me. In it with me. That's motivation. Be with me where I am. To see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that the love you have made for me may be in them. And I, the same thing, in them. You're in the very place Jesus Christ is and was. I know we can't grasp that, but we need to try. Because that's the motivation to live a righteous life. To talk kindly, to walk as good as best we can, to make our accounts with the Lord very short. If we sin, we say, I'm sorry, and get it out of the way so that we can be in that place again. 2021, anybody see a change coming in 2021? For the good? What's next for 2021? Anybody have a crystal ball? We don't know. But as Gary said this morning, I think that we're on the cusp of something very big, where things are going to get ultra spiritual here pretty soon. We don't know when the rapture comes, and yes, this church believes in the rapture of the bride of Christ. It's pretty plain in the Bible. That's coming, but before then, we do not know what we will be going through, but we do know this. We have to be in place with the Father. We have to be doing whatever He's asked us to do. In love and motivation, out of love for Him, what He's done for us, and out of love for each other, to be motivated and doing the best we can in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Please rise and we'll sing this one more time. Because we're in His place and He's going to lead us. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Wherever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand Lord God, lead us forward in the same motivation that You had. Not by a negative, we pray, except as a last resort, but as a positive motivation of love and knowing that we are sons and daughters of the living God because You walked up to that mount where all those sheep were slaughtered and You were the last one they needed. You were it. And so we're so very grateful. Until the day that we see Your face, Lord God, help us, fill us with the wisdom and knowledge of God so that we may be positively motivated to do the things that You've given us to do, to love our God and our fellow neighbor as ourselves. We pray this in Your holy name. Amen.